Alleluia, Jesus is risen. Welcome everyone on this strangest of Easter Sundays. That first Sunday was filled with dramatic events. Last Easter happened in the wake of the burning down of that iconic building in Paris, Notre Dame Cathedral. And this Easter, here we are confined to our homes because of a virus. But you know, the cathedral is being rebuilt. The virus will not defeat the human race. And Jesus rose from the dead. And so in our difficult situation, we have time for joy and celebration. So thank you all for joining me in doing that together. Alleluia. Jesus is risen. Our first hymn this morning is a 20th century one written by the Shaker, Sidney B. Carter. It's number 404 in our hymn book, and it's called The Lord of the Dance. I'm going to read the last verse. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that will never, never die. I live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Let's go now to our opening prayer. Let us pray. O God, we celebrate this wonderful day. We celebrate that you conquered death and invited us into a special relationship with you. You became human, one of us, and took upon yourself our experiences of pain and suffering. You have shown us that life cannot be defeated by death, and through our faith in you, we do not have anything to fear. We thank you and praise you as we celebrate Jesus alive again and with us forever. Amen.
Joy on Easter Sunday. So many emotions gone through from last week as Jesus rode to Jerusalem on a colt. The singing and rejoicing, all happiness, our spirit lifted but crashed down with a jolt. Fear and confusion replace the joy and we find ourselves on a roller coaster of feelings. Jesus, through all of this, though he knew the time was coming, was calm with the dealings. He knew what he was going to face. As the scriptures were fulfilled, he stayed in prayer, knowing that he loves us so that he would be denied even who was going to be his betrayer. He cried out to his Father, "Take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done." He knew that he had to go through the pain and endure suffering to save us, every one. And so we watch on as Jesus is arrested with no real charge, put on a trial that is unjust. He's beaten, flogged, spat on. "Crucify him, crucify him," came the cry. Endure it, he must. Mocked still with a crown of thorns, led away, he's forced to carry his own cross to Calvary. Nailed upon that cross, held there, as the sun stopped shining, he breathed his last, a sad day. But it's not the end, for it is Easter Sunday, the tomb now empty, and the stone is a seat. Let us rejoice again as Jesus is risen, in the power of the resurrection, the circle complete. Praise him for his glory. It is, as he said, deep joy that can't be taken away by the sorrow. Hallelujah, for in him is our hope. He overcame death to give us a bright new tomorrow.
Now, I know you can't see me on this recording, but I'm going to talk a little bit to the children about the symbols of Easter. And a symbol is something that gives us a sign and reminds us of something else. So, what do you think about when you think of Easter? Well, eggs, definitely. Chocolate and otherwise. Sometimes we paint eggs, don't we, to make them really special for Easter. Rabbits. Well, you know, rabbits don't lay eggs. I think we think about rabbits because we think that the springtime comes and we start seeing lots and lots of wildlife. Hot cross buns. So today I'm going to talk to you about a hot cross bun. And I'm going to tell you how the hot cross bun can tell the whole story of Easter. Okay, so what shape is it? Well, it's round, isn't it? It's round. Well, sometimes. It depends on who's baking it. But they're supposed to be round. So the hot cross bun is round, just like the stone that rolled away from that cave where Jesus' body was laid all those years ago. So it reminds us of the stone. And it has on the top, on its lovely shiny glossy top, it has a cross. The cross reminds us how Jesus died. That really terrible thing that happened to Jesus, how he died on a cross. Now, when you cook a hot cross bun, I don't know if any of you have ever cooked one, or maybe your mums or your dads or your grannies have cooked a hot cross bun. And if you ask them, they'll tell you that in order to make the hot cross bun soft and fluffy, you have to add yeast. And yeast is something that makes our baking rise and make it soft and fluffy and nice to eat. So the hot cross bun rises, just like Lord Jesus did. He rose from the grave. He was dead, and then, my goodness, God brought him to life again, which is just amazing. So it's round, reminds us of the stone that rolled away. It has a cross on it to remind us how Jesus died. When you cook it, you use yeast, which makes it soft and fluffy, so it rises just like Lord Jesus did. And when you bite into it, it's a little bit spicy, just like the spices that the women took along to the tomb after Jesus was taken down from the cross. So if you're lucky enough to have a hot cross bun today, then remember as you bite into it the wonderful story of the first Easter, and that Jesus loves each one of you more than you can ever imagine, because each one of you is precious. Our second Easter hymn today is number 410 in the hymn book, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, and it comes from a collection of divine songs and hymns called Lyra Davidica. They are translated from High German and Latin, and this song is from 1708, and the author is anonymous. Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Alleluia. Thank you. Our reading today comes from Luke's Gospel, chapters 23, verse 55, to verse 12 of chapter 24. Listen now for God's word to you. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." Thanks be to God for this reading from his word. And to his name be the glory and the praise. Amen. Now we come to our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Lord, when they went to the tomb, they were puzzled that it was empty, even though Jesus had said he would rise again. So when we fail to have faith in your promises and are puzzled at glimpses of your new reality, forgive us, God. Lord, they were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. So when we let fear rule the day, when fear takes over our views of the world, our dreams and our understandings, forgive us, God. When the others heard that Jesus had risen, they laughed and called it an idle tale. So when we laugh at others, mocking their stories of experiencing your presence, or when we put down the faith of others, forgive us, God. Forgive us and be patient with us. Forgive us our stubbornness. Help us to be forgiving of others when they say sorry. Help us to trust your words. For you, O God, do amazing and wonderful things. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Because of this, we are forgiven. We are set free to live and love in the way of Christ. Alleluia. And now we come together and say the Lord's Prayer. Use whichever form or language is most familiar to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our third hymn today, 417, is one of my favourite hymns, Now the Green Blade Riseth. It was written by John MacLeod Campbell Crum in the 19th or early 20th centuries, and it's set to a French tune. I'm going to read the third verse. "Forth he came at Easter like the risen grain, he that for 3 days in the grave had lain. Quick from the dead my risen Lord is seen. Love is come again, like wheat that springeth green." Thank you. people on the pages talk to me. They tell a story that sings through the ages, that perforates the dull of doubt with light, that seeps under doors of darkness and floods grey rooms with colour and joy. The people on the pages talk to me. They tell a story. They enter my imaginings and flit through my faithless moments, leaving a trace of mystery that I must follow. The people on the pages talk to me. They tell a story. A story of betrayal and pain, a story of faith and fear and following. A story that haunts my days, that inhabits my hopes. The people on the pages talk to me. They tell a story. It is his story. It is your story. It is my story. The story of humanity. The only story that really matters. It is the people on the pages that have always interested me most. Who are these people? Would I have been one of them? And if so, which one would I have been? Would I have been one of the women at the tomb with the spices? Would I have been one of the disciples shut up in hiding for fear of the Romans? Would I have been one of the establishment who was brave enough to get involved, to anger my colleagues or my family, by giving away my family grave to a disgraced heretic? Would I have been one of those who just refused to believe unless they saw the evidence? Would I have betrayed him because I was afraid of being recognised? In the face of the cross, a horrible and painful death, I could well imagine that I might have been one of those who left the city of Jerusalem in fear, afraid that the same fate might have befallen me. So try to put yourself in their shoes, or rather their sandals, for a few moments. There was Jesus' mother. He was just a young man. She'd been terrified for so long. She was weary with worry. Most mothers will recognise that feeling. Which child to worry about tonight? Which child to worry about the most? Which child is the most needy? And it doesn't stop just because they grow up and leave home. She must have been exhausted with worry. She must have been the Mary that came to anoint his body. It must have been the final straw that it wasn't there. Did she come to understand? Did she go home with the disciple commanded with her care and get on with everyday life? We don't know. Did she continue to worry and wonder? What about Peter, trying to hold everything together? Riven with guilt and sorrow, confused and afraid for them all, he was the only one who came anywhere near to believing the women. Was he afraid someone would desecrate the body? Did he think the Pharisees were behind it? Did he consider for a moment that it might have been a trap? Or did he go with the women because he felt sorry for them and was humouring them? Or did he think back to some of the things Jesus had said? Did it slowly dawn on him after that moment of realisation? Or did it come to him in a flash? We don't know. Who were the two men at the tomb? What happened to Mary and Joanna and Mary Magdalene after that day? We don't know. There are so many questions. And where was Jesus? Where did he go between these appearances? Firstly at the tomb, then on the Emmaus Road, then to the disciples, then on the beach. Where was he in between? What kind of body was it that he inhabited? One that couldn't be touched, according to one of the accounts, but one that could be touched by Thomas, and that could eat with his friends and build a fire and cook fish. We don't know. But we do know that this story, this unique and very strange story, changed the world. It was the beginning of an amazing journey of faith for the small band of travellers. None of them rich, none of them powerful, none of them famous, and none of them learned in any way. Simple people. This small band of simple people changed the world. Since then, many have died in defence of this story. Many more have lived to do wonderful things because of this story. Martin Luther King, Mary Slessor, David Livingstone, St. Columba, Jane Heaning, St. Francis, and many more whose names we don't and will never know. In our own day too, there are those who give up all sorts of promising and lucrative careers because of this story. There are still people prepared to lay down their lives for this story. A few of them known, but most of them not known. You would pass them by in the street. Simple people, seemingly unremarkable. Most of us will not be asked to give anything more than our love and our service, but how far would our faith take us? Which one of the players in the story would we be in the final analysis? Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, risen Lord Jesus, take us as we are, raw and unformed, full of doubts and failings, and remake us that we might shine your light into all the dark places of our world, that we might look for your face in the faces of all who are in need of any kind, and offer them in your name the peace that passes all our understandings. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. This morning I chose to share with you, with a few adaptations, the prayer written by Reverend Scott McKenna, minister of Ayr St. Columba. I hope it will touch your hearts as it did mine. Let us pray. Father, in ways diverse and rich, we feel ourselves truly blessed. Creation's beauty is a sacrament. Through the skies, shifting clouds, the majesty of mountains, the rhythmic sound of waves flowing and ebbing, we see the unseeable God. In pink moon and vermilion sunset, in the song of the blackbird while it is still dark, and nature's fecundity of bud and flower, we thank you for the blessing of fruitful beauty, of creation's rising. We celebrate and pray for the witness of your church throughout the world, in all its color, diversity, indifference. May the body of the risen Christ reflect the self-forgetfulness of Jesus. May it be a place of contemplation and compassion. God of the soul in all stillness, we bring to you the suffering of the world, present in every aching heart. Jesus is love and peace. We are mindful of those broken by life events, by hardships, injury, unkindness, or abuse. We pray for all who work in caring professions, for the services which seek to soothe and heal the sicknesses of body, mind, or spirit. For those who care for us in ways beyond our recognition, those who serve us in tilling and seeding the soil to nourish us with your fruits, or those behind counters in shops who serve and smile with their hearts. Present in every darkness, may the risen Christ burn brightly, bringing light, renewal, and new life. Father, in this time of waiting, in this stillness, bless our country, our neighboring countries, our world, our political leaders. Guide all who shape our common life. May we find our role and play our part in helping to build sustainably a future, a society in which all are welcomed equally. The stranger is welcomed. The vulnerable are valued and protected. Human rights are honored and creation itself nurtured. May we commit ourselves to overcome violence against neighbor, cruelty to animals, and careless destruction of the planet. May the rains restore the beauty in each one of us. Christ of the cosmos, rise again in us. We remember the bereaved, those who are dying, those suffering in body, spirit, or mind. In reflective silence, we call to mind those whom we love. We remember their eternal smiles, the joy they have brought us, their caring ways, and their love. We give thanks for people of peace, co-pilgrims of all faiths, spiritual leaders across myriad cultures, for all who worship in temple, mosque, synagogue, and church, for all who make that journey inwardly, for all who seek renewal, rebirth, and the miracle of inner resurrection. God of eternity, surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, we pray for our loved ones departed, mindful that your church is one for this life and always. These prayers we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, I know that it's not possible for us to receive your offering in any way at the moment, but if you do have an envelope or you want to hang on to your offering, just pop it in a little jar. You can give it online if you choose, but just hang on to it until we can meet again. But there are many other things that we can offer in this time of our love and of ourselves to each other. And when we do that, we're offering it to God as well. So let's pray and let's dedicate ourselves to the Lord in our offering prayer. God of love, your giving never ends. You are always pouring out more and more love. So receive what we have to offer today, not just our money, though we give it freely. Receive what we have for the ongoing work of your kingdom, our very selves, all that we are, to the core of our being. We offer everything to you who in Jesus gave everything for us. For it's in his name that we pray all these things. Amen. And so now we come to our communion service. I hope that you've got your bread and your wine or your juice ready so that you can share with us. We have to offer and share these gifts of bread and wine. And so we remember our Lord on the night in which he was betrayed as he shared bread and wine with his friends. We remain separated in our homes, but together in our hearts. And through the Holy Spirit, we share not only with each other, but with all who have gone before and with all who are yet to come. This is the true miracle of communion. We are not separated by worldly boundaries, just as we are not separated even by death itself. And so here we take this bread and this wine, and we set it apart for this special use and purpose. We ask in prayer that you bless us and these gifts of the field and the vine. Let us pray. Holy God, we remember how you've been with us throughout the generations, with the people we read of in our Bibles, with our ancestors, our grandparents, and our parents. We know how you sent your Son to show us how to love and to live. We remember his care for all those he met, and we think today of that wonderful day of resurrection. We praise you for that hope, that great hope, the hope and peace that passes all understanding. And so we praise you together in the angels' hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now, Lord, bless us and the bread and wine that we will share. Send your Holy Spirit that it might become for us the body and blood of your most dear Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name and for his sake that we ask all these our prayers. Amen. And now we take this bread and we break it for the life of the world. This is the body of Christ broken for you. And we take this wine, the blood of Christ shed for each one of you. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us your peace. And so through the Holy Spirit, we can take and eat and drink in faith, in love, and in hope. Dear friends, the peace of Christ is here among us. Peace be with you. And so now let us pray. Thank you, loving God, for all your many mercies, for all that we have and are, for all that you have shown us in this time, for this ability to share even as we are distanced, and most of all for your Son, our Saviour, in whom we have our hope and our freedom. In the name of the resurrected Jesus we pray. Amen. And today our closing praise is number 419, well-known Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory, originally a French hymn, so you can sing along in either language. The music it is set to is by George Frederick Handel and is from Judas Maccabeus. And I'm going to read the second verse. Lord Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb, lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth. Death hath lost its sting. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. And so Luke says, God, I am making a new heaven and a new earth. Alleluia. The events of the past will be completely forgotten. Alleluia. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. Alleluia. For wolves and lambs will eat together. There will be nothing harmful on my holy mountain, says our God. Alleluia. This is the same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and whose Spirit goes before you into the world. So go in peace. The God of creation, resurrection, and eternity be with you this day and forevermore. Alleluia. Amen.